In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, those whom we see in the gospel today, who traveled out into the desert to hear our Lord speak, and who had their hunger filled, are something of an image. They are an image of the soul in the trial of spiritual dryness. Somewhat like the state, the physical state of these persons, such a soul finds itself fatigued, uncomfortable, maybe irritated and annoyed, lacking satisfaction, that satisfaction of being filled by God in prayer with the sense of his presence, of having one's spiritual thirst quenched. Like a man driven by distraction into the oven-dry heat of the desert, the soul, which is in dryness, is almost beside itself, anxious to know the time of God's visitation in the form of consolations. But these consolations, we know, they have the potential, like a wholesome meal, to fill our souls with renewed vigor for the combat for eternal life. God does withdraw them. And when he does so, it seems to us like it's for no good reason, even though by doing so, he's inviting us to grow stronger. One of St. Francis de Sales' favorite saints of the primitive church was St. Anthony of the Desert, one of the original desert hermits. His life could be for us a model in perseverance under difficult circumstances, often those arising from temptations or a sense of isolation and the lack of God's sensible presence. Accounts of St. Anthony's life reveal that his doctrine was purely Catholic, it was orthodox, and he was without cowardice, gloom, or formality, or self-complacency. He had no time for superstition, seeing it as a lack of trust in God and full of evil. He was always full of confidence in God and divine peace, cheerfulness. He was full of valor, but he was known to take up his works with enthusiasm and vigor. And yet, all these virtues were not the result of a life of undisturbed peace and idleness, or a life of nonstop consolations filling his soul. Like the soul going through a period of spiritual dryness, like a soldier behind enemy lines, his life was one of sustained combat. The devil attacked the young man, disturbing him by day and night, harassing him so that even onlookers saw the struggle which he was going through with the devil. The devil would suggest foul thoughts. The saint would counter them with prayers. The devil would incite in him temptations to lust, and Anthony would fortify his body with faith and prayers and fasting. Again, the enemy would suggest the ease of pleasure, but like a man filled with rage and grief, he turned his thoughts to the threatened fire and the gnawing worm, and setting these in array against his adversary, he passed through temptation unscathed. All this was a source of shame to his infernal enemy, for the devil, deeming himself like God, was now mocked by this young man. And he who boasted himself against flesh and blood was being put to flight by a man in the flesh. For the Lord was working with St. Anthony, the Lord who for our sake took flesh and gave the body victory over the devil, so that all those who truly could fight can say with St. Paul, "Not I, but the grace of God which was with me." And throughout this long warfare, he came to this truly wonderful conclusion. Progress in virtue and retirement from the world for the sake of it ought not to be measured by time, but by desire and steadfastness of purpose. So he gave no thought to the past, but day by day, as if he were at the beginning of his discipline, applied greater pains for advancement, and often repeated to himself the saying of St. Paul in his epistle to the Philippians, chapter 3, verse 14. Forgetting those things which are behind, and stretching forward to the things that are before, the things to come. What Anthony almost innately understood about suffering, purification, and dryness is that this is the real substance, the real red meat by which the body of our spiritual life is made strong. A thought very much echoed by St. Francis de Sales. The gentle saint wrote that consolations are a little bit like the sauce that God spreads over us from time to time, that he gives us to taste when he sees us, like stubborn children, not wanting to eat the solid meat of the spiritual life. So God, bending down to our weakness, bending down, seeing that our spiritual taste is imbalanced, we just maybe want the junk food of the spiritual life. Seeing this, he gives us a bit of sauce, not to be taken by itself, but that it would induce us to eat the solid meat of sustained prayer and the practice of virtues, like humility, patience, and charity, and mortifications. When it is the evil one who gives us these feelings, he would want us to let them have their way, so that in the enjoyment of eating only the sauce, slurping it up, as it were, and leaving behind the solid meat, we would lose our spiritual appetite little by little until it's gone. Very much in line with these sentiments are the thoughts of the greatest saint of the modern era, a wonderful description of spiritual dryness or desolation, and the proper response to it is given in The Story of a Soul, the autobiography of Saint Therese. She writes, "I have to tell you about my spiritual retreat before my religious profession. Far from experiencing any consolation, complete aridity, desolation almost, was my lot. Jesus was asleep in my little boat, as usual. How rarely souls let him sleep peacefully within them. Their agitation and all their requests have so tired out the good master that he's only too glad to enjoy the little rest I give him. I do not suppose that he will wake up until my eternal retreat, but instead of making me sad, it makes me very happy. Such an attitude of mind proves that I'm far from being a saint. I should not rejoice in my aridity, but rather consider it as the result of lack of fervor and fidelity, while the fact that I often fall asleep during my own meditation or while making my thanksgiving should appall me. Well, I'm not appalled. I bear in mind the fact that little children are just as pleasing to their parents asleep as awake, that doctors put their patients to sleep while they perform operations on them, and that after all, the Lord knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. So if you are in dryness, if it seems that it has been long since God visited you by his consolations, try to understand what a precious land of opportunity you're actually passing through. You are somewhat like a desert hermit or a man making his way through the desert until he reaches civilization. He's surrounded by scarcity and by desolation and oppressive heat and serpents. But there are also very beautiful things in the desert. There are flowers of a beauty unknown to other parts of the world, oases that quench like no other water can, and fragrances and aromas of wonderful quality. This is the lot of earthly deserts. Those of the soul are infinitely more precious." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.